name. Amen. Amen. Let's go to our launching point, which is John 3:16. And this year I'm sharing it out of the Voice Bible. And it reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. Amen? Everyone say, I'm a rescue worker.
A rescue worker.
Amen. Would you go please to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7, I'll let you know, gentlemen, when I need that other verse to come up. And it's just a very, very simple scripture, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Let's say, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, and you say, well, how's that possible? Well, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all, behold, all things." How many things?
All things,
all things have become new. It's important to remember that. All things have become new. Because, see, before we were new creatures in Christ Jesus, we couldn't walk by faith. We were humans. Humans don't walk by faith. They walk by sight. They operate based on what they see. But we walk by faith, and we can do that because we're not mere humans. Now, I'm going to attempt to show you something. DJ, would you bring me that little picture? This is something that Mary Lou showed us. I want to show it to you. Just to give you a little, help you understand just who we are. There should be another small glass with that. I hope that fits. Does that fit inside that picture? Oh, good. Thank you, Mary Lou. Thank you. Okay. This picture of water represents the Godhead. Let's say it that way. And in the garden, God made man in his image. Clear. All right. And he filled him with his spirit. So that man made in the image of God. But something happened. Adam and Eve sinned, lost the glory of God. And God said, I can't leave man in that state. Can't do that. So he gave us the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. But we're still not a new creature if that's all that happened, because there was a man on earth that was filled with his spirit, Adam. But the scripture says our life is hidden in Christ. It's hidden. There's never been a creature on earth who was in Christ, in God. And as long as we stay in Christ and in God, we are hid. And we're protected. You can't get at me because I'm in Christ and in God. I'm hidden in there, made in his image after his likeness. You say, why are you telling that? We have to understand this, because if you're going to grab hold of what we're going to share with you today, you need to understand you are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Never before has anyone like us walked this earth. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we're capable of doing everything that God said we can do. Why? We're in Him. And really what it is it's God working out His purpose, God doing His work through all, He's using our body to do it. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Your life is hidden in Christ. Before us, there was never creatures like that. That's why we have so much more than Adam ever had. So much more. Yeah, because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm going outside my bounds. Okay. Thank you, Deacon Gerald. Just remember this. I wonder what he's going to do with this. I'll show you. So we understand that. Then now let's go to Mark 11. Don't say that scripture again. Mark 11. Verse 23. I know Pastor Annette and I have been teaching on this scripture, coming at it every way possible for the last few months. We're going to come at it from another way, because this is such a foundational scripture for the believer. We need to understand everything we can understand about it. Most of the time, I'm going to be in the King James Version, so you can read along with me. For verily I say unto you, you can read along with me. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now I have a question. Why would Jesus have to tell us not to doubt? Why didn't Jesus just say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it's done. It'll happen. But he inserted, and shall not doubt, but shall believe. Why would he have to put that in there? Have you ever thought about that? Raise your hand if you ever thought about it. It's okay if you haven't. I didn't think about it until Friday. He must have known that situations were going to come up and it was going to look like your speaking wasn't effective. He had to know that sometimes you were going to say things to that mountain and it was like nothing's happening. Nothing's moving. And so now what? Now what? I spoke to the mountain. Chair, move. In Jesus' name. And it doesn't move. Now what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Doubt comes. So he said, shall not doubt. Believe what you said will happen. Will happen. Will happen. It took 10 years. I mean, ten weeks? How long was she in the... 10 weeks. They prayed. They spoke. 10 weeks later. What if they'd given up after week one? That just doesn't work. Pull the plug, let her go on and be with Jesus. No. 10 weeks later, the person gets up and goes home. They probably got up and went home before that 10th week. One month, okay. So you need to think about that. If they had given up, that person would be with Jesus. And it's not that that's a bad thing, but that would be an early departure. Folks, if you understand what I'm going to share with you today, I'm telling you, you'll operate in faith like you have never operated in faith before. Never. Look at Luke 4. Now, it's important to understand something about before I read the verse in Luke, the first few verses in Luke 4. This happened before this happened, I mean, before Luke 4, Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible tells us that when he was baptized, the heavens opened. And the Spirit of God came down in a bodily form like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove. And a voice came from heaven that said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Whose voice was that? Who was he talking to? So Jesus had it straight from God's mouth that he was the Son of God. And that God was well pleased with him. Not just pleased, not just happy he was around. He said, "In whom I am well pleased." So there was no doubt that Jesus is God's Son and that God is well pleased with him. He said, "Thou art my beloved Son." Okay? And so now. You know how I like to imagine being in the moment. You know, you get water baptized and heaven's open and you hear what God says and you're like, "Yes, let's go." Well, his first assignment is to go into the wilderness and not eat anything for 40 days. I mean, he could have went away 40 days. I thought you just said you were well pleased. Is this what you do to people who are well pleased? What's going to happen if I mess up? Where are you going to send me then? But he's 40 days in the desert, in the wilderness. So in Luke 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing." Nothing. "And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered." He's a better man than me because I'd have been hungry. Well, I wouldn't have waited till the end. I'd have been hungry after day one. Okay? But he was hungry because he hadn't eaten. So the devil comes. The Bible doesn't say Jesus is walking around saying, "I'm hungry. Why won't God give me any food?" You know, the devil just came. And the devil said, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now, he's talking to someone whom God said, "You are my Son, and I am well pleased with you." Had anything changed in that 40 days? He didn't fall out of favor with God. God didn't say, "You're not my child anymore." But that contrary thought, say contrary thought, that contrary thought was submitted for Jesus' approval. See, that's what the devil does. He puts thoughts out there. And when you consider that thought, something insidious happens. You got to stay with me. Remember, Jesus said, "Shall not doubt in his heart." Too many times, we think it's okay to doubt as long as that doubt isn't in our heart. We say, "Oh, okay, it's all right to doubt in my head." Really? Let's think about that. How does something get into your heart? Where does the thought come and you stop, your chest opens, and it just goes right in? How does it get there? It drops down from where? From your mind, from your brain, from your head. So why would we, if you knew there was a parasite in your body, but it wasn't anywhere that was critical, would you leave it in your body? Why? Two reasons. Number one, it doesn't belong there. And number two, who says it's going to stay in that spot? It will infect other parts. But we think it's okay as long as we doubt in our heart and we get spiritual with it. Well, Jesus said, don't doubt in your heart. Well, if I know, if I take a thought in my brain, it could wind up in my heart, why would I want to bring it in? Why would I want to do that? See, the moment you consider the thought, you snatch it out of the air. See, Satan just came and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. That was just out there. You have to start snatching that in and considering it. Yeah. Why should the Son of God be hungry? What's up with this? I'm the Son of God. God said he wouldn't want anybody he's pleased with to go hungry. Stone turn into bread. See, that's what the devil wants us to do. Forget, not necessarily forget who you are, but make you think that who you are is being, what's the word? It's an old word, dissed. Okay. And that you deserve better because of who you are. Why is God holding something back from you? Hey, those are the thoughts he put out there in the garden. Did God really say? He knows. He knows. He just doesn't want you. He's keeping something from you. He's been doing this since the beginning of time, folks. That's what it happens in families. Children think their parents just don't want them to have fun. You don't understand. That was in the olden days. Like, no, no, no. My parents were in the olden days. But see, somebody can say something to you that's so ridiculous you won't even consider it. You won't forget about a second thought. You won't give it a first thought. They'll say something, you'll go on like it never existed and just leave that thought out there. But the moment you consider it, you snatch it right in. And you immediately start leaning towards it. Say, no, no, Pastor Greg, I just, I almost call myself Pastor Ed. No, you're just thinking about it. Why? You know it's contrary to what God said. You know. What's there to consider? The minute you take it in, you're saying, maybe there's something here that's a little better than what God said. I need to figure this one out. No, you don't. You need to keep going on with what God said to you in the first place and not even consider that other thought. Because where do you think that thought goes when your mind snatches it in? There isn't a part of your brain where it just sits there, you know, as in a waiting room. You know, where you just sit there until it's your turn. No. It puts it on the expressway to your heart. Why? That's where it wants to go. See, that thought doesn't want to stay a thought. It wants to turn into doubt. And that doubt wants to present itself in words coming out of your mouth because now you've given substance to the doubt. And you've made that doubt a real entity in your life. And we're wondering, how come the word's not working? I thought God said. No, he did say. And he meant every word he said. But we are allowing thoughts to come in and corrupt the word. I came across a new translation. Actually, it's not new. I think it was penned in 1934 or 1824, somewhere that back there. But it's the G.W. Wade translation. It's called Documents of the New Testament. This was one I actually was able to download. I was like, yes. Okay. And they're going to put it on the screen so you can follow it with me. I'll read it slowly because I don't know how many slides they had to make. But the Apostle Paul said, I myself, Paul, appeal to you by the meekness and considerateness of the Christ. I, who am represented as being humble enough amongst you when face to face with you, but is adopting a bold tone towards you when away from you. Yes, I beseech you, do not, when I come to you, force me to adopt a bold attitude with the same confidence with which I now, when at a distance from you, am reckoning upon, taking a courageous line towards certain people who on their part, reckon that in our proceedings we are dependent on human resources only. Verse 3, they are mistaken. For though in our ordinary course of life we have none but human resources, our spiritual campaign is not waged with merely human resources. For the weapons of our campaign are not weak human weapons, but weapons divinely powerful for the demolishing of strongholds that resist the good news. We demolish opposing reasonings and all presumptions, unbelief that, like a towering fortress, rears itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this, folks. And we take captive and render submissive to Christ every defiant thought. Every what kind of thought?
Defiant thought.
Well, again, why do you think God said that? Well, let's consider. It's a defiant thought, and we allow our minds to take it in. Do we know what defiant means? What do you think defiant means? Just call it out loud. Yeah. How about this? According to the dictionary, defiant means full of showing a disposition to challenge, resist, or fight. But there's another definition. Refusing to obey. You take a thought that refuses to obey, known to be refusing to obey, and you take it in. And you think you're going to control it. When by nature, it refuses to obey. And the moment you take it in, it starts to take over. Why? It's defiant. Well, how do I know defiant thoughts from ones that are not? Well, before I answer this, I'll answer it this way. There are other translations that says, capture every thought. Every thought. So before you allow any thought to come into your head, you need to make sure it's a godly thought. Because if it's not a godly thought, it's a defiant thought. Because it's going to get you to defy, to rebel, to disobey what God told you or what God said. Either one is not a good thing. Either one. Not for us as believers. See, when you take in that thought, you're saying to that thought, okay, convince me that you're right. Why would you say that? You want to believe it's right. Because it gives the appearance that it's easier. Turn this stone and, hey, you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to cook anything. You don't have to call anybody. Just tell a stone to be bread and it's bread. And you won't be hungry anymore. That's simple. It makes sense. Except God didn't tell you to do it that way. God didn't tell you. Look at Romans 6, please. I'm going to share this in the easy-to-read version. And when we finish here, we're going to go over to Matthew 6 in the King James. This is Romans 6, verse 16, easy-to-read version. It says, surely you know that you become the slaves of whatever you give yourselves to. Anything or anyone you follow will be your master. Anything or anyone you follow. I broke myself yesterday of a habit. They're older television programs that I just enjoy, and there's stations on there that seem to be bringing them back. But they don't bring back one episode. They'll bring back three in a day. Okay. And they're hour-long episodes. So I'll tape them and then waste 3 hours watching them. Watch, because I like them. And then talk about, I don't have time to do this. And I don't have time to do that. But no, I got to watch these three episodes. Okay. Anything or anyone you follow will be your master. You can follow sin or you can obey God. Following sin brings spiritual death, but obeying God makes you right with him. See, when you're not thinking, what did God say? You're thinking, how do I get around what God said? Or did he really? But here's another reason. I told you before, the goal of a thought is not to stay in your head. It's to get into your heart and turn itself into words coming out of your mouth. Matthew 6. See, that thought wants to become into existence. It wants to be tangible. And the only way it can do that is to get you to speak it. Verse 25, King James. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? What's the answer to that question? That didn't sound like everybody. Yes. Okay. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Or add 1 year to your life. Add another dollar to your bank account. Right? And why take ye thought for raiment, for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they don't work, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You'll slow down, you'll be on the highway, and you'll pass by some wildflowers, you'll slow down and say, wow, they look great. Those are gorgeous. You tell your friends, next time you're on this route, look at the flowers over there. No one comes out and waters them. They don't spray Miracle-Gro on them. Who takes care of them? God. I used to think, and I still do, when I see birds, I'm like, how do they know it's time to go south? How do they know they're supposed to go south? And then how do they know when to come back? And how do they know which way is south? I've never seen a class for birds where they sit down, they go to school, they, what does that mean? God takes care of them. How do they know after a rain, hop along the grass, it's easy to pull out worms? How do they know that? God put it in them to know. Well, he gave us the Holy Ghost to do the same thing, to let us know what we need to do. And just like with birds, some of us don't listen. And you see some little bird ice cubes in the dead of winter who didn't go south, didn't leave in time for whatever reason. Okay. It said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, here it is, folks, take no thought, saying. That thought wants to be said. Because once it's said, it comes into being. And you don't want that thought to get life. Jesus told, he said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The New International Reader's Version says of Luke 6, 45, a good man says good things. These come from the good that he stored up in his heart. An evil man says evil things. These come from the evil that he stored up in his heart. But listen to this, folks. Take this in. A person's mouth says everything that's in his heart. Everything. When he says it, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You may not have meant to say it at that time, but you meant it enough to snatch that thought out of the air, let it get on the expressway to your heart, and close all the exit ramps. And the next thing you know, that thought became the abundance of your heart. You start doubting, and now you're in the strife. Now you're into worry. Now you're into all this other stuff that we could have left out there in the atmosphere. It's, you know, every thought doesn't come into our head. Well, I'll tell you something. What we do sometimes, honey, would you hand me my cell phone and my keys, please?
Thank you.
Oops. See, these thoughts are flying out here. I don't want to think about it now. I'll put it in the secret pocket. And I'll leave it there. Another thought will come in. It's out there. I know it. But no, I don't want to I take it. I put it in another place. And then after a while, you get so weighed down, and something happens, and you start thinking about everything all at once and have a meltdown. And have a meltdown. Child of God, filled with his spirit, having a meltdown. Why? Because you're burdened down with all these thoughts. All these thoughts. And we forgot that we know what God said. But I have all these thoughts that suggest something different. And as I shared with you before, folks, they are real things. It was no joke seeing blood pour out of your nose. That's no joke. And the devil's saying, you're going to bleed out right here, right now. Like, this is no different than the blood clots. It's no different. It's a tribulation. Jesus said I'd have them. He said that he's taken away their power to harm me. I wish he'd said they took away their power to hurt. But I'll take the hurt over the harm. All right? Because you endure the hurt. But you don't give in. You don't start thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to die here on the side of the road. Bleed out in the car. No, I would not take in that thought. It was out there. The devil is just, if you be the Son of God, puts that thought out there. And that thought goes, so just hovers around you, Moses. Just hovers. Just wants you to just consider. And it only takes a millisecond. I wonder. Right in. And then that whole process starts. Go back to Matthew 6. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. After all these things, the people who are not new creatures in Christ think about that. We are new creatures in Christ. We don't have to think about that. Because God has already said he'll supply all our need. Period. He'll supply it. He said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That doesn't mean I'll seek first the kingdom and I'll start seeking after all these other things. No, it says, your concern, all of your thoughts should be on seeking the kingdom. And seeking the kingdom doesn't just mean finding where it is. All right, what am I supposed to be doing now to help further the kingdom? What's my responsibility at this moment, God? That's what I'm focused on. That's what I choose to think about. How can I serve you better? I need to make sure that what I'm doing lines up exactly with what you've told me. And while I'm doing that, I'm fed. I'm clothed. I'm kept healthy. I don't have to think about it. I shouldn't have to think about it because I'm not my own. I'm in Christ, in God. I'm protected. What's there for me to think about? Right? See, you have to know what God said concerning you. Because and this is why it's important. If you don't know what God said, how are you going to know when something contrary comes? You have to know. And that takes time. That's why the Bible tells us to meditate in the word day and night with the intent on doing what it says. So you don't meditate just try and figure out, oh, this is what it means. No, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. How do I apply this? How does this become a part of my life? The weapons of our campaign are not weak human weapons, but weapons divinely powered for the demolition of strongholds that resist the good news. We demolish opposing reasonings and all presumptuous unbelief that like a towering fortress, it's going to seem big and overpowering. rears itself against the knowledge of God, we take captive and render submissive to the Christ every defiant thought. If we do that, there's no way it can get into our hearts. Let's go back to Luke 4. I'm going to wrap this up. Okay, you remember the scenario? This was a high shouting time. Jesus is baptized. Holy Ghost descends. God says, this is my beloved son. I'm well pleased. Okay? Then he gets sent to the wilderness for a 40-day fast. But he's still God's beloved son. God's still pleased with him. And Satan introduces a thought. Because he wanted Jesus to have doubt. So what did he attack? His identity and need. And he's always going to attack your identity and what you think you need. Because, and why does he do that? It works. That's the only reason. And I'll tell you something. Deacon Ellis shared it with the group Friday. Stop underestimating the devil. He's an archangel. No, he's not equal with God, but he's equal with Michael. Because Michael's an archangel. And you look around, he's so stupid, he's stupid, and you're doing what he says. You need to think about that. Right? He's so dumb. He doesn't know anything, but you're listening to him. And the Bible doesn't say he's stupid. The Bible says he was more subtle than all of the beasts that were in the garden. He was more subtle. That means, folks, out of every single beast that was in the garden, the serpent was the last one that you would ever think would do anything. The last one. So, of course, I can listen to him. No, this is what you need to understand about thoughts. I told you this some time ago. It's an account. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's a good story of this little girl going up a road, going to visit a grandparent, very, very cold day, and she heard a hiss on the ground, and she looked, and there was a snake on the ground. And the snake looked at her and said, I'm so cold. I'm freezing. I'm going to die. Please pick me up and put me under my coat so I can be warm. And the girl said, I know who you are. You're a rattlesnake. And if I pick you up, you'll bite me, and your bite is deadly. And the rattlesnake said, if you pick me up, I would never harm you. I would never harm you. You're willing to help me, and you think I'm going to harm you? No. If I bite you and you die, I'm going to freeze to death. And she looked at it and said, well, this is one of God's creatures. And all of God's creatures deserve an opportunity to live. So she picked up the snake, put it under her coat, took two steps, and she felt a sharp pain in her side. Snake bit her. She drops and said, why did you do that? You said if I helped you, you wouldn't bite me, she said. And the snake looked at her and said, you knew what I was when you picked me up. I'm telling you now, folks, thoughts are rattlesnakes. Full of venom. They're defiant. Don't you think, why do you think you're going to be the only person on this planet that can control them? That makes no sense. Like I said, if it makes no sense, it's because it's nonsense. Right? But Satan does that because most of the time, more times than not, it works. It works all the time with humans, but we're not human. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we have been given power over all the power the devil has. So if anybody should be telling someone what to do, it should be us telling him where to go and not the other way around. But see, he submitted for Jesus' approval if you be the Son of God. See, you have to demonstrate that you're the Son of God. That's what you're telling Jesus. Otherwise, you'll starve to death. And Jesus wasn't buying it. He didn't approve that thought. He didn't give it a nanosecond. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Done. Done. Some of us, we would smell the bread. The minute that Satan says that, oh, yeah. Yeah. It could be nice and warm. I could probably make it buttery. Okay. Just a little crunch on the top, you know, so you break it off and little pieces you can pick up like this. And you know, I mean, no, we think about all of that, and next thing you know, we're way over there. And the devil's laughing at it, like, got another one. Got another one. So when that thought presented itself to Jesus, he didn't give it access to his mind. He didn't want it in his head. Because if it went in his head, it's next. The next stop, your heart. And I'm not talking days, folks. We process these things in moments. Moments. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. Well, God said, my word shall not return to me void. It will accomplish what I set it out to accomplish. Live by that. The only thing that's important is, what did God say concerning you? Jesus knew it, and he knew, folks, there's no expiration date. You know when the expiration date is on God's word to you? When you go home to be with Jesus. And then a different, you know, what he told you to do to function here on the earth, once you go home to be with the Lord, that's done. That's finished. Well, you haven't gone home yet. So his word is still working things out for you. Still working it out. Let's go back to the beginning, and I'm going to close. Mark 11. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you don't want to doubt in your heart, and you really want to believe you have what you say, you need to stay focused on what God said. Only. That's kind of hard to do. No, it's only hard for humans. We are not weak human beings. You know, we are not, the weapons that we use are not weak human weapons. We don't have to, well, you got to say this 10 times before I get it. No. I mean, you keep saying that, it'll take you at least 10 times. And just believe what God said. Case closed. There's nothing else to consider. But you have to get to the place where you take every defiant thought and make it obey Christ. Amen. Make it obey Christ. Amen. You don't have to give in. Yes, the opportunity for doubt is going to be there. You can't do anything about it. You can't pray it away. You cannot. You're just wasting valuable knee time. Like, Jesus, please take this away. You're praying about something that he's already handled. So when did he handle it? I give unto you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power. The Amplified Bible says, I've given you physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. Oh, as Deacon Ken always says, what does all mean? Is there anything left out of all? So that must mean that there is no power, no force, no trickery, no deceit, nothing that the devil has that you don't have power over. So if we are falling victim to it, it's because we want to. There's no other reason. We're not weak humans. We are too powerful for that. We have to allow it. Leave the thoughts out there in the atmosphere. Leave them there. And you stay focused on what God tells you. And every time you speak to that mountain, it will move. And you won't concern yourself whether it's 5 weeks, 10 weeks, 6 years. Or longer than that, because I don't say, well, Pastor Carl only went up to 6 years. No. However long, beg pardon?
I said, or five inches.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is, all you have to do is know you will have whatsoever you say.
Amen.
Period. Don't let a thought take away, or don't give away to a thought what God has given you. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. About 5 minutes.
Over in Matthew 6, when you were reading that, when we got down to the end of that, discussion about, not being concerned about things at all. In italics, it's saying, don't worry. That's what all of that means is don't worry. I have friends and family who often, when we are separating to go our different ways, will say to me, even on the telephone, take care. And I immediately say to them, no, thank you.
Right.
And they look at me real strange. You know what I mean? What do you mean, no, thank you? I says, because my Bible tells me to be careful for nothing.
Right.
And you have to take care.
Right.
Before you can receive it. And I said, you know, no, thank you. So I don't care who says it to me. They tell me, well, be careful. Thank you.
Yep.
I look at them real strange, and they say, when I say no thank you, they look at me real strange and like, what do you mean? Why you say that? I said, because my Bible tells me to be careful for nothing. So if I take your care, then I am disobeying the word of God.
Right.
And therefore, I can resist the devil as long as I don't take the care even you're offering me, and I know you're offering it to me in good faith and all, but can't go contrary to what the word says.
Nope, you have to cast those cares.
That's right.
I have this picture in my head. How many of you have seen the batting cage? and the baseballs are coming at you. I just picture cares coming out, and you stand there. Care comes, you knock it away. You go on, just, nope, no cares here. Say that. Say, no cares here.
No cares here.
I take no thought.
I take no thought.
I'm going to leave it in the atmosphere.
I know it was submitted
for my approval,
but I'm not approving it.
Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I meant what I said. I'm telling you. You want Mark 11, 23? And 20, you want that to work for you, don't you?
Amen.
Stop thinking about it and just do what it says. What's there to think about? It's already been done. Be patient. That's all. Be patient. It shall come to pass. The Bible says you shall have. Shall is future tense. Sometimes it does come right away. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it comes a little later than that. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it comes much later than that. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it comes much, 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 much later than that. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you know you said it. It's in line with what God said. It shall come to pass. And you just keep on stepping. Father, we thank you. We give you alone, you alone, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for your word, because your word is all the truth there is. It's all the truth we ever will need. And all we have to do is learn. All we have to do is get to know what you said. That's all. And how it applies to what you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how to skillfully handle your word, how to rightly divide your word. Lord, we want to be the examples that you created us to be. Actually, Lord, we're the examples whether we want to be or not, because we've received your Son. So we are new creatures in Christ, period. Thank you for just giving us the revelation that we need to keep growing, to keep abounding, to just continue no matter what comes. Because we're sure, we're confident, because you said so. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.